Oh, it's always good to be here. Thank you. So, you know, one of the things about speaking is that we're asked to provide our topic well before the time of actual talking. And I tend to choose topics depending on what's going on in my life and what, I, you know, just the energies that I'm feeling. What do I need to talk about, not only for other people, but for myself? And I was aware that one of the difficulties, particularly of moving toward positive thinking, positive images, a positive life, is that sometimes we can't resist the negatives. And that, in fact, you can't have any positive without a negative. I mean, if you really think about it, if our lives went only positive, very soon we would lose awareness of that positive. Because our normal consciousness, we know positive as contrasted to negative. We know happy is contrasted to sad. How do I know I'm happy? I'm not sad. How do I know something's soft? It's not hard. How do I know something's hot? It's not cold. I mean, it's not anybody's fault, but you can't do one without the other. And sometimes when we try to do one without the other, we wind up in a kind of serious trouble. You know, so I was thinking of things like, oh, what do we do with the negative energy in ourselves? You know, the doubts, the self-criticism, sometimes even the self-condemnation. What do we do with the dreams that we've had for so long that we're getting to a place where we don't believe we'll ever actualize them? What do we do with those little niggling voices within us which are criticizing us all the time? And I was thinking about, what do we do with the energies from other people, the negative energies that are sometimes coming to us? You've probably had the experience, and I tend to have the experience from time to time, of having people who are angry at me. Sometimes a lot of people. You know, and like not wanting to buy into it, but being aware that there is a field and there is positive and there is negative, and sometimes what we're getting is not positive. And what do we do? What do we do about that? And then, after I had decided on such a topic, and I kind of was feeling it was important to talk about, but I was feeling mildly upset about things, it's like everything started to fall apart in the world. I don't know whether it was my fault or not. You know, but look what's happening. It feels like we are walking in a negative field. I usually don't talk about politics, but there is absolute craziness going on in our government. And there's craziness, I mean, in some senses, we are the government. There's craziness going on in us. We want more and more, and we want to pay less and less. We want to say things are important, and then we want to have them cut. I was just listening on the radio over here to North Carolina, which had the top education, public education system in the country, is now number 49 because of the amount of money which is being taken away from education. This is sick. And some guy in Norway, infused with the negative energies, and I don't think it's only an individual's fault. I think we're living in a place, goes and kills 60 7, 68, mostly teenagers. Whoa. So the topic became a little more pressing. What do we do with negative energies? What do we do with negative energies in ourselves? What do we do with negative energies that others are aiming toward us? And what do we do with the negative energies in our world? I'll tell you the first thing I do with them. I get upset. I do. I listen to the report, I listen to the radio, I read the news, and I get upset. And I have a sneaking idea that getting upset is not really helping the issue at all. There's anger in the world, I'll add more to it. You know, but it's kind of the natural thing. But getting upset, of course, is not our full repertoire. So I was wondering, what else do we do about it? Well, what else we do about it is we deny it. We do. We deny. We try to pretend it's not happening. You know, it's we're going to stay. I won't read the news. You know, I won't look at what's going on in the world. I don't know how many of you have stopped looking at news. I'm actually convinced that the field gets to us whether we're reading it linearly or not, but we try to ignore it, or we try to deny it, and we try to go on with our lives and try to avoid the eyes and the signs of the hungry. Try to avoid even some of our friends who are out of work, because it gets such a long time. How do we deal with it? But of course, it was Carl Jung who said, you know, when we ignore the shadow side, it will rise to meet us as our fate. It happens that denial is an incredibly ineffective defense mechanism. We all use it, but it doesn't work very well. So living in a negative field, we can get upset, we can deny it, we can proclaim it all for blessing. Like whatever's happening, we're saying there's a blessing hidden in there somewhere. I may not see it, but there's a blessing there. You ever have something happen to you where you're in a place of some difficulty, or you're in a place of some suffering, or you're in a place of some pain, and somebody comes to you and says, well, there's a blessing in there somewhere? Do you hit them? There may, in fact, be a blessing hidden there, but the blessing comes from the person themselves, or we ourselves, claiming meaning from moments of pain. But that's the individual's responsibility. That's not someone else's responsibility to lay it on us. It's kind of violence to do that to another person. What else we do with negative things happening? We blame the victim. We do, particularly those of us who are into metaphysics. Because in the metaphysical traditions, we get into the space of we create our own reality. Well, if we create our own reality, then the person who's ill must have created their own reality. The person who's poor must have created their own reality. The person who lost their job must be creating their own reality. Really? You know, I mean, it's easy. We could do it with karma, where we look at somebody and whatever they're going through, we say, well, that's just a consequence of your past life. So deal with it. No, there's something very cruel about that. That doesn't help. I mean, I know it when somebody does that for me, it doesn't help. When I'm down, when I'm feeling ill, that's the time when I have least energy to use to create my own reality. That's the time when I need the support of others. So what do we got? How do we deal with negative energy? It doesn't work to get angry, upset. It doesn't work to pretend it doesn't exist. It doesn't work to say, well, it's all for blessing. It doesn't work to blame the victim. What are we going to do? This week, in Jewish tradition, you know, we read a section of the Torah every week, the five books. So this week starts the last book, starts the book of Deuteronomy. In Hebrew, the book of Deuteronomy is called Devarim. The books are labeled differently in English than they are in Hebrew because they are. It's an old tradition. Devarim means words. The book begins with Ela HaDvarim. These are the words that Moses spoke to the children of Israel. And the book of Deuteronomy is largely these final orations of Moses, kind of talking about spiritual issues and talking about community issues. And every time this portion comes along, I am reminded again of the significance of the words we speak. And I'm reminded that, in fact, what we are story-making creatures. We make stories. We always make stories. We make a story to describe who we are. We make a story to describe the world we live in. We make a story to describe the people who are in the world with us. We love our stories. One of the things we learn in meditation is how we are constantly telling ourselves the same story over and over and over again, whether we are conscious of it or not. We are defending our story. Well, what we're seeing in our world is the consequence of the stories that people are telling themselves, and we're witnessing the consequence of the stories we've been telling ourselves. We're all acting out our stories. So that the Congress is acting out a story where what's most important is to win. It's an interesting story. A lot of us buy into that story. We are in competition with everybody else, and only one of us can win, and we can't let the other guy win. And that's like this story that is bigger than whatever the issue is. The story can eclipse the actual needs of a moment. The man who went on the shooting rampage and set off the bombs in Norway, he was acting out of a story. And the 15,000-page document that was found, you know, that he had been working on for years, is this huge, convoluted story. So if stories really express the ways we live in the world, then story must be also the way we grow. So I believe that what we need to deal with the negative energies in our world, the negative energies in ourselves, the negative energies that come from others toward us, is a bigger story. We need a bigger story. And I believe that every single spiritual teacher, every authentic spiritual teacher of humankind has essentially brought a bigger story. And what a bigger story does, a bigger story includes all the other stories, but is not a captive of them. A bigger story looks at the stories that are acted out and doesn't resist them, doesn't fight them, doesn't try to call them wrong, but doesn't get caught up in them. And so a bigger story invites others to step out of their little story and tell a bigger story. The bigger story includes the ups and the downs. The bigger story includes the wins and the losses. The bigger story includes things which logically can't be contained together. It includes the competitiveness where only one of us can win and the cooperation where we can only win if we do it together. And the bigger story holds both of those. The bigger story is not a story of denial, but a story of acceptance. And as the bigger story accepts, the bigger story proclaims that there's something bigger, greater, fuller going on here. And it's not that those other stories are not true. They're all true. They're just little stories. And we participate in the little stories just like we participate in the larger stories. But the larger story allows us to feel a compassion for the little stories we are involved in and the little stories that others are involved in. And the bigger story looks at the world and refuses to get upset because that's the upset story. Refuses to enter into denial because that's the I won't look story. Refuses to enter into the it's all for blessing because that's simply another form of the denial story. And refuses to blame the victim because that's really a pretty violent story. The bigger story essentially rests itself on two principles. One is awakening, and the other is serving. I've gotten to the point where I believe that's what we're here for. That's what this whole thing is about, and that's what the bigger story is about. It's about a continual process of awakening to the one we are. It's a never-ending process of transcendence. And one awakens in order to serve. So that no matter where we are in our lives, no matter where we are in inside and outside, the question we're asking is not how can we win, but how can I make things better here? Not I'd like you to change, but how can I make things better here? So I invite you to embrace all the little stories which are dancing around in your lives. And I invite you to embrace all the little stories that are dancing around in the world around us. And not to waste your energies entering into stories of denial or entering into stories of blame and not entering into stories of anger. But walking your awakening into the world with acts of compassion. Walking your awakening into the world with acts of compassion. Right now, right here, and always. It's a great story, and I'm glad to be in this one with you. Thank you.